we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome back to the second week of the Reboot series. My name is Chris Fluitt. I welcome you, Redemption Church. If you're looking at us online, we're a non-denominational, spirit-filled church here in Plano, Texas. If you're anywhere near us, come see us. We'd love to meet you. Before we dive into the Word today, we are going to dive into it today. We need to take some time to realize that our nation went through a reboot this week. Did they not? Yeah, our nation went through an absolute reboot. And there was, of course, a presidential election. Often lost in the presidential election, we forget that there was a Senate election, that there was a Congress election. There were many, numerous state and city level officials also elected, all right? All that stuff is important too, all right? And you probably have realized there's a lot of unrest about this year's election and everything. Both presidential nominees had a historically high disapproval rating. It really was like it didn't matter who won, somebody was going to be hacked off about it, all right? And so after this long, drawn-out negative campaign cycle, many are left with a feeling of uncertainty. Many are left with a feeling of anger, and some even have fear, right? All these things are true, right? What should the Church of Jesus Christ do about this? What should we do? Here's the answer. We should pray. We should be people of prayer, all right? Instead of getting into religious arguments and shouting matches, don't you love Facebook shouting matches? Anyone see one of those? Oh, yeah, it's absolutely, oh, my goodness. You should pray about these things. The Bible says don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything, all right? That is something Christians don't often live by, but it's right there in the Bible. So we pray for our leaders. Pray for our leaders. Even if we don't agree with their policies. All right? We pray for them. It is unbiblical to only pray for the officials that you voted for. That is unbiblical. I want to give you this picture that even Christian church, when they were under persecution from Caesar, you better believe this, they prayed for Caesar. And all those governors that, like people like Agrippa, that literally sent Paul down the river towards his death. You don't think Paul prayed for that guy? Paul prayed for that guy. We ought to be people of prayer, people that pray for our leaders. Christians should pray for all our government leaders. Our prayer should not be partisan. Y'all agree with that? Our prayer should not be partisan. Y'all can clap for that. It's true. Even leaders you don't like, let's go down there. Even leaders you fear are corrupt. Even leaders you think are jerks. Even leaders who fail and have flawed policy. I remind you that the Bible commands us to not just pray for our friends, but to also pray for our enemies. Pray for our enemies as well. This is not a suggestion. It's like, if you get done praying for blessing, and you get done praying for your homework, and you get done praying for your sports team, and you still have time, you might think about praying for your enemies. No, it is a command. If you're going to pray, you ought to pray for your enemies. If you're going to pray for God to forgive you, you need to pray forgiveness on your enemies. Anybody hearing me? Oh, man, it's true. So, I want you to join me in praying for President-elect Trump and the rest of our current and coming government. Is that okay? Could we do that today? We are going to pray for their hearts. We're going to pray for their minds. You see, you could pray for their policies, but you know what? If you started praying for their hearts and started praying for their minds, all that stuff flows out of that anyway, right? We're going to pray that God would lead them. We're going to pray that God would convict them of sin. We're going to pray that God would lead them into righteousness. We're going to pray that America would be a godly nation and that God would receive honor in this nation. While we're at it, let's also pray that the Church of Jesus Christ would make a difference in this world. no way, no how are we waiting on President Trump to make a difference in this world. We're starting now. We are the change agent in this world. That's us. We should be the salt of the earth. We should be the light of the world. We should be those things. And that we would be about the Father's business and not get caught up in all the mudslinging and the political games. Is that all right? Everybody in this place, could you stand on your feet and join me in prayer? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for our government right now. I pray for all the unrest in this nation, Lord. We pray for President Obama right now, Vice President Biden, Lord, and the current government, Lord. We pray blessing on them. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would lead them and guide them, Lord, that you'd help them, Lord, to lead righteously. Lord, we pray over this transition of power. Lord, we pray for President-elect Trump. Lord, we pray for Mike Pence, God. Lord, we pray for this upcoming government, God. Lord, let your hand be in it. Lord, let your will be done. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, we pray, Lord, that we'd be a nation of righteousness and not corruption, that we'd be a nation of generosity and not greed. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you'd move in the church of Jesus Christ, Lord. Help us to get out of the political games, Lord, and help us to lead. Help us to lead with the heart of Christ. Help us to lead with love, God. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, Lord. All of our friends that are worried right now and angry right now and fearful right now, all our friends that are even bragging right now that their candidate won. Lord, help us to reach out to them and be Christ to them. Help us to be Christ in this world, God. Lord, we pray, Lord, for the United States. Lord, we have this saying that it's one nation under God. Let us truly be a nation that is founded under you and comes up under you and is subject to you, God, and looks to you in all things, Jesus. Lord, we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Can we clap our hands like God heard our prayer? Amen, amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Thank you so much. Last week, we talked about system errors that happened in our life. Y'all remember that? We talked about the trajectory of our life and how it shows us our future. And our trajectory shows us exactly how we're going to be actually when we die, unless corrective change comes to our life. Remember the picture of the meth addict. You didn't have to be there for all 10 years of her addiction history to know that she was going to die. It was very quick that you could see, you could pick up on the trajectory. And if she didn't come to change, she was going to have a terrible end. The same is true for us, but also the good is true for us. That if we have a positive trajectory, you can tell that good things are coming your way. You can tell that heaven is in your future. You can tell these things, all right? So we need corrective change in our life, and we need to always be managing the trajectory of our life. We talked about Jesus as a restore point. When there are system errors and the system is down, how many knows that the worst system error that ever came to humanity was not Internet Explorer? It was sin. Sin, all right. If you missed the first week of this series, I would love for you to check it out. That can be found on our website, redemption-church.com. You can also check out our podcast, subscribe to that, and there's numerous video sites like YouTube, Daily Motion, and Vimeo. All right, all kinds of stuff. Today, I want to talk to you about your plan. Look at somebody and say, your plan. Your plan. Do you have a plan? Your life needs a plan. Okay. You need a plan. I'm not so much the good planner in our household. Will, our six-year-old, he's the plan. He plans everything. No, Sarah is the good planner in our household. When you're looking to reboot your life, you need a plan in place. You don't just say, I'm going to make my life better, and then that did it magically. No, you need a plan in place to live by. There are areas of your life that you need to restart. But do you have a plan? We often have a spoken plan. Everyone said spoken plan. But we sometimes live by a different default. Let me give you some examples of this. One day, I plan to own a house. Spoken plan. But I have never started to save for a down payment. That's a different default. You following me? I plan to be in great shape. I plan to have crazy wealthy success. That's the spoken plan. But I don't work out because all I do is binge watch Netflix. And I am in debt with more growing debt. Is that a different default or what? I plan to help my children go to college, and I plan to have a comfortable retirement. That's a great spoken plan. But I have never lived by a budget that makes these things a priority. It's a different default. I plan to have a clean, organized house. Spoken plan. But once again, I reach home after work and I just drop everything by the back door and I go collapse on the couch. I never clean. In fact, I just go pick up the tablet and go, ooh, Pinterest ideas. That is a different default. If only Pinterest ideas equaled work, working on your clean house. Whoa. All right, I plan to have a good relationship with my kids and a strong, passionate marriage. Spoken plan, but I pay no attention to either. I am, however, completely caught up on all my favorite shows and movies. It's a different default. I plan to grow in relationship with God and to grow in relationship with the people in my church. Spoken plan, but I never have read my Bible. I don't read my Bible. I may or may not be in service for the rest of the year. I never spend time with anyone from church outside of a Sunday service. That is a different default. Can I tell you that you need more than a spoken plan? We are so good at speaking our plan, right? And in generalities and cliches, and we just speak those things out. But we need an active plan, and this plan needs to actually attack our default. It needs to attack our mediocre place. It needs to attack our status quo. We need a plan that does that. We actually need plans, forgive me, we need plans that make us uncomfortable. We need plans that spur us on to action. If the default was working, then you would not need a reboot plan, would you? The default's not working. You need a plan that punches default in the face. All right? Good job. The default needs to be rejected. And that's not always easy, right? Because we like sitting on the couch and watching Netflix. We like that. We like to eat cake. Preach. Now he's preaching. Like, we like to do those things. We like to spend money whenever we want to, right? But we need a plan that punches default in the face. Literally just attacks it. Like, we're thinking like the Discovery Channel when the lion is in his natural habitat and he's sneaking up on the gazelle. The lion is your plan. The gazelle is your default, all right? And you need to let nature take its course right there, all right? Can I get a little bit more in your face? Our default is lazy. Our default is selfish. Our default is not the trajectory we want. Our default is actually a directionless drift. So you need to attack your default. You need a defined plan, and you need to be committed. Look at somebody and say, committed. Committed. Committed to the plan. You need a plan for your paycheck. You need a plan that tells your money what to do, when to go to bed, what not to do. It tells your money, you need to tell your money what to do, or it's going to drift on the internet. It's going to drift at Macy's. It's going to drift at the mall. That's what money does, right? It's going to drift at Wendy's. It's going to drift at Burger King. It's just going to drift, right? You got to tell your money what to do. You need a plan that does it. You need a plan for your time so you spend time wisely, or else you won't have the time for the important people in your life or for the important projects of your life. You got to have a plan that does that. You need to get some organization, and you need to get some, ooh, it's a nasty word, some discipline. Oh, dirty words. All right. A plan to grow spiritually. It doesn't just happen. You need a plan to grow spiritually. You need a plan to set aside time to pray. The times of the greatest spiritual growth as I was a young person was when I had a prayer plan. You know what the plan was? It was this simple, and it was intense. Every time the clock is 6 o'clock, 6 a.m., 6 p.m., I will pray an hour. And that was a big commitment. That was huge. But guess what? I grew so much during that time. A lot of who I am today was shaped in that time as a teenager. Absolutely. You need a plan to set aside time to read the Word of God. Christians that don't read the Word of God, that's like a soldier going out without a gun. It's really dumb. It's like going outside without clothes on. It's essential that you know the Word of God. Can I get an amen in the house? I mean, my goodness. Let me just go ahead and tell you, there's something wrong in Christianity. I've noticed this. Christians love to sing songs of praise, but not read the Word of God. I don't know what it is about that. It's like they feel good about that. They love to sing songs of praise, but not pray to God. That's something wrong there. You need to change that. Change that about you. Love, worship, we need all of that, but you need these other things too. You got to get those things. You need a plan to be at church. This is coming from your pastor here. Would you just hear me out? You need to plan to be at church. You need to plan to be at small group events. You need to plan to be in other people's lives. Make plans. We make plans at the drop of a hat for anything else, right? The Cowboys are playing. Let's go watch it, right? All the Texas State Fair is in town. Let's go eat terrible food. That's really expensive. Let's go do it, right? We make plans. Do we make plans in this area? I mean, you need a plan to grow in relationship with God and a plan to grow in other believers. Just let this hit you right in the heart. Do you really have close friends in the body of Christ? I mean, like close friends. You ought to. You ought to. Get on that. Make a plan. These things don't happen by default. None of these things. Default doesn't do these things. They happen with a defined plan and a killer commitment. All right? One more thing about this subject. The reason we hate plans is because we want to have flexibility. That resonate with you? We want to have some flexibility in our life. And those plans are just so rigid, you know. Sometimes we just want to have fun. And sometimes we just want to eat cake. And sometimes we just want to watch Netflix. And, you know, your plans, you know, they take away all of our freedom, right? Let's talk about it. We have friends in town. So you know what? We won't go to church this week. You know, flexibility, just suddenly this week we're not going to talk to God. We're not going to pray. We're not going to be with our other friends. We're going to miss the opportunity to introduce our friends to our church in Jesus Christ. But okay, all right. We have friends in town, so we won't be at church this weekend. That happens all the time, right? We had this plan. We were going to be in their church, but, you know, something came up. And I understand things come up. Right? It's amazing how they come up on Sundays over and over again. But all right. I saw an outfit that I really want to buy. So you know what? We're just going to ignore the budget right now. What budget? You didn't see anything. Right? I have been on a diet, but I kind of cheated with hash browns this morning at breakfast. So you know what? Let's declare today cheat day right as we drive up to Golden Corral. I have been there. I have been there. One little cheat in the morning, and it's like, we just should eat 3,000 calories today. Bah! All right, being transparent with you. There is a difference between being flexible within the plan and abandoning the plan. You can be flexible within the plan without abandoning the plan. That's something you got to learn, all right? You can be flexible, but you need some non-negotiables in your plan, right? You need some non-negotiables. Even if you do need to miss church occasionally, that means you are going to spend some time praying that day. That doesn't mean you're going to miss out. That means, okay, I'm going to go check out the podcast because I want to grow spiritually, all right? These kind of things. Even though you cheated on breakfast, that doesn't mean you abandoned the entire plan. You have these non-negotiables. How about this one? I've been trying to work out, but I have not been so rigid with my schedule that I have to work out in the morning. I have to work out 5 times a week. And so maybe I work out in the morning. Sometimes that doesn't happen, so I find a way to work out in the evening, all right? There can be flexibility within your plan without abandoning the plan, all right? We need a plan in our life. You live the plan so that you can see progress. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah. A plan without progress is probably the worst thing in the world. A diet without losing the weight is the absolute worst thing. That is like the seventh level of hell right there. I know I'm preaching. I know it. Progress. Can I tell you about progress? Progress looks so good in the mirror, doesn't it? Have you ever seen progress in the mirror? Oh, man. I love to see progress in my bank account. Anybody like to see that one? Oh, yeah. Progress feels good when your relationships start to get healthy. That feels really good. Progress on the job, progress in school, that's so rewarding. I will put up with pain to see progress. Anybody else? I will put up with pain to get a little bit of progress in my life. I will turn down cake. Man, we have been preaching about cake today. You're welcome. I will turn down cake if it will help my progress. I will subject myself to relationship conversations I would otherwise like to avoid if it will bring progress. I will make myself uncomfortable in the natural if it will bring progress to my supernatural. All right. Can I tell you real quick? That's what worship is. Some of you are so uncomfortable worshiping. All right. What if there was progress on the other side of some uncomfortable worship? Some of you are uncomfortable with prayer. Let me tell you, make yourself uncomfortable with it. Attack your default. You see, your default is so comfortable. But what if you attacked? Is it worth attacking your comfort so that you can see progress? I would tell you it is worth doing in the physical. It is worth doing in the spiritual. It's worth doing in every area of your life, mental, physical, all over the place, all right? You will be surprised at what you can endure for the sake of progress. Is there a plan in your life? If there's a plan in your life, then there ought to be progress in your life. If there is no progress, maybe we need to go back to step one and rethink our plan. I joined a YMCA in early September. It's been a little bit over 2 months. It's been like 2 months and 3 days. And I've been working out about 5 to 6 times a week. I have spent a lot of time there in the last 2 months. Going to the gym, often I quickly began to notice the same people. And I began to talk to some of them, get to know them. But there is one nameless gentleman that has completely stood out to me. And he's like preached this sermon to me for the last 2 months. I want to tell you about that guy. And it's going to seem judgmental. Please don't think me judgmental. He is always there, this guy. And he knows everyone. And I think it is safe to say that he has been a member there for years. Yet, I will put this gently, and not in a mean spirit, his body does not look like he's been a member there for years. His body does not look like he spends hours at the gym. I'm telling you, I'm there 5 to 6 times. He is there the majority of the time I'm there. He spends hours. He's there when I get there. He's there when I leave. And when you look at the amount of time he is being there and his body, there is something wrong. The guy either has some kind of physical condition that's keeping him obese or some kind of thyroid thing. There are definite things there. I'm not making fun of him there, okay? But I don't mean to be fat, to be a fat-shaming jerk. Y'all got me on that? I simply want to ask, where's his progress? I don't know what he looked like before 2 months, but in the last 2 months, I've not noticed a difference in this guy, although I've seen him show up at this place that everybody goes to. With everybody that shows up there has shown up there to bring a change to their life. And I'm not seeing a change in his life. Where's the progress? This guy is often found by the treadmills. How many knows there's a difference in being by a treadmill and being on a treadmill? Now we're preaching. I tell you, y'all amen the funniest thing sometimes. All right. enjoyed that. All right. I have the feeling the gym is kind of a social hour to this guy. Because there's a person on the treadmill and they are sweating profusely. And he's over here. He's got a towel over his shoulder in case he broke out into a sweat. And he's talking to the guy. That is like the picture of this guy. Every once in a while, he'll get on there. He'll kind of mosey on a treadmill. But he's not really attacking his status quo. Am I being fair, okay? All right. Love the guy. One day I'll learn his name. Okay, I won't tell him that I preached about him or anything. Redemption Church, can you listen up for a moment? You could come to services. You could come to small group meetings and not be showing progress. That guy shows up to the gym, the place to go to change your life, to change your physical, and he's not changing. The same thing can happen at the church. The church is a place where you ought to be growing spiritually, and you could be coming here weekend after weekend. You could be sitting through sermon after sermon. You could be sitting through prayer service after prayer service. But where is the progress? Where is it? We need to be seeing it. Is your knowledge of God, is your knowledge of His Word growing? Is it? Are you closer to God today than you were a month ago? Are you just kind of like the guy is by the treadmills? Are you just kind of by the presence of God and not in the presence of God? Are you just by your Bible or are you in your Bible? Are you by the altar or are you in the altar? Where's your progress? All right. I love every one of you guys. Every one of you guys. Y'all are always welcoming. I love you being here. You come here and I understand that people come through that back door sometime and they're checking out church. Maybe they aren't totally sure if there is a God. Maybe they're searching for God. Maybe they're not sure what Christianity is. Maybe they're just checking all that. You take your time. You just keep coming back. That's so awesome. But there is a moment where there ought to be progress in your life. Is there progress in your life? Don't you know that you serve a God that wants to bring new, beautiful things into your life? He wants to take the broken things, make them brand new, and make them beautiful. You're here today, and He can do that today. Will you let Him bring that progress into your life? We live in this world where people are constantly by change, but not in it. There is something wrong if you're not progressing in life. And I don't mean to be a jerk, but I do mean to confront you today. And you need to confront yourself on the areas where you're lacking progress. I had to confront myself as I started. I made that spoken plan last December. I'm going to lose weight. And I just kind of dabbled in losing weight. And I lost a little pound here, a little pound there. And that's great. But I like totally stopped. And now, like, I was going to head back to the same place. But I was like, whoa, where is the progress in my life? Oh, I'll tell you where the progress is. You aren't working enough. You aren't trying enough. You haven't changed your life enough. So guess what? You need a plan, and you need to have progress. Also, this is important. You must not despise the process. Say these words. You must not despise the process. I want to tell you that we live in a world that despises the process. Let me paint it to you this way. We only want the before picture and the after picture. We don't need to see anything in between. What's the after picture? What's the before picture? All the stuff in the matter, in the middle, we don't care about that. No one on Instagram posts their process. Everyone on Instagram goes, don't I look good? This is me at my best. This is me at my prettiest. No one takes the picture where they're in a sweaty heap on the floor after the workout. Nobody takes the picture of they looked in the mirror and they've made a little bit of progress, but you know what? They are still way fat. No one posts that picture, right? No one posts a picture They post the picture in their fancy new car, right? No one posts the picture in process. You know, I'm driving this junker of a car, but you know what? I'm getting my life back in order. No one takes that picture. No one likes that picture. No one shares that picture because we're living in a world that doesn't like the process. We only like the after picture. And we judge people that are in process. Get your act together. Show me your best. Or find someone else. That's where we are in this world. We don't celebrate the I am trying, but it's really hard to change my life, but I haven't given up yet. We don't celebrate that person in society. We don't. These posts can't be found anywhere on the interwebs. Man, that's, I'm trying, but it's really hard to change my life, but I haven't given up yet. When was the last time you saw that posted on Facebook? I went to my 10-year high school reunion almost 10 years ago. My gosh. It was not a joke. Laughter in the house. All right. I went to my 10-year high school reunion expecting to see all my friends. I was so excited. I was like, oh my, I was looking through my yearbook. I'm going to see them. I'm going to see them. I'm going to see that person. But I'm going to also see them. Hardly anyone came. We had like hundreds of people in this graduating class. There was like 30-ish people in the room. And I was like, where is everybody? I asked some of my friends. I called them. I wrote them. I said, why weren't you there? You live in town. Why weren't you there? You're not that far. You are on the other side of the world. Why weren't you there? And some of them admitted to me they didn't feel like a success and they didn't want to show up and be judged a failure. Well, you know, I had a failed marriage and I didn't want to show up. Well, you know, my hair is thinning. No one even admitted that, but I'm thinking of this one guy that was totally why I went there. And I just wanted to grab them. I wanted to see them and grab them and tell them, you aren't a failure. You're my friend, and you are just simply in process. Don't you feel judged? You're just in process. There is a space between your starting, the starting of your plan, and the completion of your plan. And that space is just as important as the beginning and the end. That place where you are hitting rock bottom and you're thinking about giving up, but you didn't, that is just as important as any other moment in the journey. There is struggle in the process. There is sweat in the process. There is failure in the process. Oh, yes, there is. But there's also growth in the process. There is a change in your moral character. In the process, you'll find things that build you up. You will learn things that then become platforms for you to minister to other people if you will not give up on the process. The process is not Instagram pretty, but it is absolutely necessary. And I tell you, the people that fake the Instagram pretty, they are absolutely shallow and empty, because what gives you the depth is the process. Do not despise the process. Don't you look in the mirror and say, I am not pretty. Don't you look in the mirror and say, I am not fit. Don't you look in the mirror and say, I don't have enough money and nobody likes me. No, friend, you're just in the process. That's good. You're just in the process. Let me talk to the Church of Jesus Christ for a moment. The church isn't always happy with process either. Let me preach to you for a moment, okay? How about church plants? Here's one thing that always gets me as a church planter here. How about church plants? Oh, you planted a church? Wow. So how many thousand people are coming to your church that's a year old? That's a real question that I get. Oh, 35,000? Sure. God's good. What can I say? All right. That's much of the attitude when it comes to churches this day. If you aren't a mega church, then what are you doing, right? We want to see that shiny building with the steeple and the pastor in a suit with a perfect family that just a twinkle in his tooth and they never have any problem because so we can feel like we're okay too. Duh, come on. Just thought I'd gripe about that for a moment. All right. But honestly, people come into the back door and they find their way up here and they start a new life in Christ. They say a sinner's prayer and everybody claps their hands and we all begin to sing, "How great is our church? Sing with me." Can I tell you something? This is only the beginning moment of their walk with Christ. It's not the after picture. It's just the beginning. And they may still have problems, right? They may still have some secret sins in their life, like you and me. Quiet. They may have other areas of their life that they have not yet surrendered to God. They may set out to live a life for Christ only to immediately fail the next day. What is this? Where's the after picture? No. Will they still be welcome here even when it is evident that they are still in process? Do we only want perfect pictures of smiling people with beautiful families at our church? Are we only looking for the after picture? Will you only hang out with people in Christ that are showing you an after picture? Will you reject those that are still in process? Will you reject people that have a cursing habit? Will you reject people that have a drinking problem? Will you reject people that have an anger issue? Will you reject people that have a story? Or will you realize, man, that's just their process. They're just on their way. This is just a part of the depth of who they're going to be in Christ. You just get a load of the after picture. Can we be a church that does not judge people in process? I really want that to grab our hearts. Can we be that church? Could a prostitute walk in here today and we love her just like anybody else? Be that. Will you judge your pastor for still being in process? Because I am. I remember giving my heart to Jesus. I remember repenting of my sin. I remember it very well. I remember turning away from sin so that I could turn towards Jesus. I remember that. But I also remember walking out of the church and eventually, all too soon, falling back into that sin I had prayed about in the altar. I remember it very well. I remember that. I remember I had just asked God to forgive me of this. It felt so good to be free from it, but now I'm entangled in it. Again, I remember how terrible I felt. I remembered how much of a loser I felt. I remember that I felt like a charlatan. I remember that I felt fake. I remember thinking, did you even love Jesus? Did you even mean what you prayed? How dare you fall back into this? I remember the worst fear of all. I hope none of the people at church find out. I questioned if I really loved Jesus or if I was just pretending. And I remember how the enemy, the devil, tried to get me to question my faith. But above it all, I remember the guilt I felt as I was around other Christians. And I remember thinking, I can't let them know the truth about me. I can't let them see anything else but the after picture. I can't let them know that I'm still struggling. I can't let them know that I've failed. I can't let them know I'm not perfect. I want everybody to hear me say this. I won't judge you for being in process because I'm still in process. I'm still in process. I'd like to tell you that story is like of me as an 8-year-old boy or me maybe as a teenager. No, that's still who I am. I still repent. I still come to this altar and ask God to remove me all of my sins. And He is so faithful and just to do it. But I am still a sinner. I still mess up. I am still in process. Is that okay to say? I would like to tell you this. I say all of this not to glory in my sin, but to glory in God, because it is only by the grace of Jesus Christ that I'm saved. I have never earned it one moment. I have never come close. I have messed up every moment, but He has loved me. In fact, the moments of my life where I have abstained from sin the most, I'll be like, aren't I doing good? Fall right into pride. I'm doing so good. Immediate sin. Like, it's a cruel thing with us, but that's the truth. Can we not judge each other on being in process? We are all in process. I don't care how long you've been here. I don't care if you hold a title. I don't care if you can memorize the scripture memory verse or not. You are in process. I'm thankful to tell you that I am not the after picture of what a Christian is supposed to look like. I'm not. You don't need to try to measure up to me, and I'm thankful for that. Because Jesus is the after picture. Look at somebody and say, Jesus is the after picture. Jesus is the one we're trying to measure up to. I got some verses to look at here. Ephesians 4:13, all right? Keep working until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What is he saying here? He's saying keep working until you grow up into the full measure of who Jesus is. He's the after picture. This is Paul talking. He's not saying, you look at me and just be like me. He says, only follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. 1 John 3:2, look at this. Dear friends, now we are all children of God, but what will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You see, you aren't like Jesus yet. You're doing your best. Praise God. So am I. But the moment where we cross over from process to the after picture is when we see Jesus face to face. And that's when we will be like him. Don't play around with sin. Don't placate sin. Don't say, you know, it's okay. You know, God loves me. And no, sin is serious. But also, can I temper that by saying, don't be so hard on yourself that you can't love yourself. Don't be so hard on yourself that you won't let Jesus love you anymore. I've seen people do it. Don't do that. You're in process until that moment you see him face to face. I can't wait for that moment when my process is over. You're still in process and you're welcome here. I'm happy to call you brother and sister. You are loved by Jesus Christ. We have a plan. We want to see progress. We are still in process. But please hear my last plea for you today. Persevere. Look at somebody, say persevere. Don't give up. Keep trying. Galatians chapter 6, starting at verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Verse 8. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. This is called the law of the harvest. Did you know that? This verse, this area is called the law of the harvest. And it works with positive good seed, and it works with negative bad seed. If you sow negative bad seed, you are going to reap bad things, negative bad things. If you sow positive good things, you are going to reap positive good things. All right. Verse 9, Apostle Paul encourages those who are trying to do good to not give up, because at the proper time, they will reap a harvest if they don't give up. Can I plead with you today? Don't you give up. I don't care what your failure is. I don't care what your sad story is. I'll listen to it all day. But that is not an excuse to give up. Do not give up. Can I tell you, don't give up on your marriage. Can I tell you, don't give up on your children. Don't give up on your future. Don't give up on your education. Don't give up on your church. Don't give up on this world. Don't give up on that person you're trying to win to God. Don't give up on you. You're in a church that won't give up on you. Don't give up. That's the law of the harvest. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. I love this. This is just one of my verses. This is one of my verses, right? Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Can I tell you, Jesus has started a good work in you, and he has never stopped working. You realize on the seventh day of creation, you got creation, right? Day one, day two, day three. On day seven, God rested. He has never rested since. He created Adam, he's working on Adam. He created Eve, he's working on Eve. Created Seth, he tried to work on Cain. He tried to work on Abel. He tried to work on Moses. He tried to work on David. He tried to work on King Saul. He tried to work on Paul. He tried to work on Peter. He started to work on you. He's still working. He started to work on you. He's still working. We aren't going to reach that Sabbath rest until heaven. That's the next time God is going to rest. Because he has taken us all out of process and put us in the likeness of Jesus Christ. He has started a work on you, and he's just never stopped. Even when you were at your worst, he never stopped. Even when you said that thing, he never stopped. Even when you didn't have faith, you never stopped. Even when you said bad things to the Lord, you ever say bad things to the Lord? You ever say, God, do you even like care about me and stuff? Gosh, like be a little snotty to the Lord. He took it and he kept working. That time you came into the church and that sermon was for you and you're like, yeah, I'm gonna get out of here. He didn't stop. That time he tried to touch your heart and draw you to him and you were like, he didn't stop. The failures you've seen in other ministries and ministers, and you thought, man, I'm just, who even needs the church and all this stuff? He didn't stop. He pulled at you. He's reaching for you. He's working in you. He who began a good work in you, you can be confident that he will carry it on to completion. You're in process, but the good news is you aren't the builder here. He is. Praise God. He began this work, and you can be confident he's able to complete the work. Do not give up. I got one more verse for you. Is that all right? Proverbs 24:16. Let me preach on this verse for a second. For though a... Can y'all say that out loud, that next word? I'm having trouble reading that. For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. We might need to get this Bible checked because it says a righteous man falls. I'm pretty sure, maybe if we look back in the Hebrew here, we'll see that it surely meant sinner. For if a sinner man falls, right? Doesn't that make more sense in the way we think about things? Because a righteous dude doesn't fail. A righteous man doesn't fall into sin, right? A righteous man has his all of his act together, and he's the after picture already, right? Is that kind of your picture? Wrong. Proverbs 24:16 says, though a righteous man falls, though a pastor falls, though whoever in your life you think is a perfect Christian, your grandmother, for instance, though she falls seven times. Seven is one of those numbers in Judaism that represents like a perpetual thing. Continually. Though they fall continually. So what's going on here? Does that mean that it's okay to sin? Just keep falling. It's all right. Just like, hey, we did this drug and we fell. Let's just do the next drug and fall deeper. Is that what it? Let's do seven drugs. Fall seven times. No. The Bible made no mistake here. The righteousness of the man or the woman is not tied to their falling. The righteousness of the man or the woman is tied to the rising up again. Hallelujah. Your perseverance is righteousness. Your sin is failure, but your faith that God still loves you, that's righteous. Your perseverance, I'm going to get up and try again. I'm going to go back to church, even though I'm pretty sure everybody's going to know and they're going to judge me. Your perseverance, that is righteous. I would tell you, your perseverance is like one of the most righteous things you could ever do. When you don't feel like worshiping, but you worship him anyway, you just push right through it. That is some righteousness right there. My growing up, I thought holiness was women had a bun on their hair and they didn't show any of their skin ever. Like they had gloves on almost. Like and men were just all, they had to have a tie. That none of that's righteousness. The most righteous person was the sinner who came to the altar. Y'all get that picture? Y'all believe that picture? I believe it with all my heart. You want righteousness today? Keep trying. God's that beautiful, isn't he? God's that wonderful if you just keep trying. That's why he brought Peter back. Peter fell. Peter rejected Christ 3 times before the rooster crew. How could he ever take him back? Well, he tried. Perseverance. You got some perseverance in you today? You have a plan in you today? You want to see some progress in you today? Are you ready to stop judging yourself, hating yourself for your process? I want to tell you that you are in the right place. And I came to tell you this last sentence here. Your plan cannot be carried out in one day. Man, I tried my best. I lifted weights so hard that I was pretty sure I was going to have at least one ab. It was right here. It was really the strangest thing. It popped up on my neck. They told me later it was a boil. All right. Your plan, so big and it's so important, you can't accomplish it in one day. You can't have the perfect relationship in a day. You can't be the perfect Christian in a day. None of this stuff, it's all about keep trying. It's about step by step. It's about prayer by prayer. It's about falling down, but having the faith to stand up again. We do 3 things every time we come to Redemption Church. We worship God together. It's number one. Number two, we receive the Word of God together. It's number two. Number three, we talk to God together. We're going to be opening up this altar today. If you want special prayer, this is how it works around here. You come into the first 2 feet. That lets us know you want prayer. That also lets you know that you can walk up here and like we're not going to gang tackle you or something that you don't want. All that being said, these altars are open right now. And I just encourage you, maybe you don't have a plan. Maybe you have a plan, but it's not been really working. Maybe you ask God to give you that plan. Maybe you ask God, God, can you progress me? Can you give me strength? Maybe you just need to persevere today. You can persevere in prayer. You can talk to God in prayer. You can press past all your worries and all your failure in prayer. Why don't you do that today? Even if you're feeling like I don't belong down there, I'm not, God will surely strike me down with lightning for going down there. Come anyway. Push past that fear. You'll find a God that loves you. He will embrace you. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every person in this house. Let them feel your presence. Let them know that they're loved. Lord, I want you to speak to them. Lord, I want you to give them a godly plan. I want you to move in all the areas of their life, God. I want you to convict them of the areas of their life that are out of control. Lord, speak to them, God. Lord, I know, Lord, that you've got good things for them, God. Lord, I know, Lord, that you're not looking to beat people down today. And so they feel terrible about themselves, but God, you're here to lift them up to new heights. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's take some time. You talk to him. You can do it from your chair. You can do it from up here. Whatever you're going through today, we want to pray with you. We're believing God for great.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.